Good day. You're listening to European Buddha.
It's the year 2024, and we also have the new year of the Wood Dragon. So happy new year also to all of those who celebrate that. And I'm very excited and delighted to welcome David Rycroft today. Hello, David.
I thought you were going to say welcome a dragon. Hello, Martin. I'm delighted to be here.
And hello, Emilia. How are you doing?
Hello, Martin. Hello, David. And hello, all listeners. I'm doing very well and excited about today's episode. Really looking forward. So welcome, David.
Thank you.
We have a wonderful subject for today. Teach peace. We want to present that, and with that, one man behind this initiative. So this would be you, David.
Mm-hmm.
And you are a director of Teach Peace and also of a charity training called Mind with Heart, training
Correct.
Teachers and students in very important topics such as sustainable well-being, emotional health, and social connection.
Exactly. Yeah.
This is just wonderful. And I was just recalling my school days. What have I learned in my school days? And everybody can join me in that contemplation. It takes some time to recall the school days and what you actually have learned. And just, I wanted to begin with that question. Emilia, what do you remember from your school days?
Thank you for the question. I'm lucky to remember the good and inspiring teachers. I had a couple of them, and one of them was in the elementary school, my English teacher. I still remember her name. And now I've realized that even if there's like one very, I would say, good teacher that notices you and listens to you and gives you a chance, that might really affect your future life. That comes to my mind first. And then, of course, later there were, I was in a music class. So in the junior high, there was an amazing music teacher. And she was a bit like a rebel, as I was. I was quite a challenge in the elementary school and junior high school. So she really kind of saw also good things in me. I didn't mm-hmm. feel too bad all the time. What about you, Martin? What do you remember about school days?
It's a very funny thing. I don't really recall what I have learned in certain subjects, but I can recall the teachers.
Mm.
And I especially can recall my English teacher had so much fun in singing with us songs. He brought his guitar and we were singing English famous songs, and I can still sing them today.
Wow.
And he was really about visit the world. The school is not everything. And this was really wonderful. What do you recall, David, from your school days?
It's true. It's a very good question, because it's not about what did you learn, or even not about what do you remember of what you learned, because actually I'm resonating with both of you in that it's more about the teacher and the qualities of the teacher, and not what they told you, but how they made you feel.
Exactly.
I mean, that's the classic.
Yeah.
If a teacher can somehow get through to that teenager or that child and manage to acknowledge them or relate to them or allow them to mm-hmm. feel heard, allow them to ignite the spark of their own flourishing, then that, I mean, that's what I remember. For example, I remember an art teacher who, and I've subsequently come on to become a professional artist, painter, among other mm-hmm. things. And one of their qualities, I mean, they were a little bit mocked by some of their catchphrases by the pupils, but they also had an incredibly empowering attitude. In other words, they wanted the students to explore, experiment, succeed. And that sort of wish for the flourishing of the student, I think, is so valuable, and something that, as when I became then a teacher, I wanted to bring that spirit of encouragement, almost unconditional encouragement, to the classroom. So one key is that the teacher inspires your engagement, your enjoyment, your delight in learning. And that, sorry to go on about this, but that's also something that can be trained as part of a school culture. Like some schools, they really, they value the delight of the learner. So I would say that's one side is the on side of the learning, but on the other side, how they made you feel, I think is equally important.
I would like to take us on a little time travel. As I was saying, in elementary school, to me, it felt quite often that the teacher was stupid and there was a lot of hassle. What would your message to be to that 10-year-old Emilia in the elementary school?
I think a certain amount of rebellion and attitude is to be expected, especially with, young teenagers. And in a way, I remember one senior teacher when I was starting to teach, said something like, at the beginning when I was teaching, I thought that a good lesson was one where it was really quiet and everybody was really disciplined and getting on with their stuff. And that felt like I was doing a good job. But towards the end of my later on in my career, I actually have changed that and value now a much more dynamic, colourful classroom where there's debate, there's engagement, there's a certain amount of life, and again, this word flourishing comes up. So it's less, maybe less quiet, but it's more vibrant. So that inner whatever encourages inner motivation. So this your the 10-year-old Amelia, who's a bit of a rebel, is that right?
Yes.
As a teacher, the first thing that we can do is have an ability to listen without any answer preconceived. In other words, you're coming to the situation fresh and you're simply able to acknowledge the presence and whatever that student is coming with. So they feel that somehow you're not completely, the whole world is not against you as a 10-year-old. There's some glimmer of hope that there's someone who does hear and understand you. And I
Exactly.
think the teacher can offer that.
So the teacher is not only responsible for teaching knowledge or transmitting knowledge, there seems to be also something quite probably equal or more important, transmitting something like education from the heart or educating the heart.
Nice,
What
nice phrase, Martin. I love that phrase.
I didn't invent
I'm sure you didn't.
it.
But yes, so well, then that also begs the question, well, what is knowledge? And we tend to think that knowledge is about the so-called external world, history, geography, all the rest of it, languages. And that's, of course, true. But I think from a flourishing of society perspective, there's also what you could call inner knowledge, or you, what did you call it just now?
I just recall it like educating the heart from an inside out perspective, maybe you could say that.
Yeah, that's nice. In other words, you're valuing the subjectivity of the student or of everybody. But the wonderful thing is, from a Buddhist point of view, the heart can be educated, it can be trained. Like our response or our attitudes towards emotions, both of ourselves and of others, can be cultivated, educated, and brought from where they are, like as a default mode, which might be quite neurotic or out of sync with current behavioral norms. And it can be trained, tamed, understood, and so that. And as a result of that, not only do you find that there's then, maybe more peace in the classroom, but there's also more inner sense of mental well-being. Educating the heart is possible, but it does take commitment from an individual, a commitment from a group of individuals, in fact, a commitment from ideally from the whole school.
this came to my mind before because I was thinking about this making a commitment, because in the piece teaching, everyone makes a commitment at the school. And this is wonderful. We can all make a commitment in the morning to be on the peace side. But what if the others are not taking this a commitment?
Yeah, I mean, that's the eternal question, isn't it? Like unilateral disarmament or whatever. This is where the support of a school culture is important. I mean, schools have values, whether they like it, whether they know it or like it or not. We all have values. And it's, I think, part of a good practice of a school is to self-reflect about what are our values and what are we doing to cultivate them, so that we are a bit more self-aware of what these values are. You know, is this a, are we championing consumerism and materialism in this school? And if so, is that a choice? Or is it something that is just, you know, slightly forced upon us by external factors? Are we cultivating healthy relationships? Whatever it is, let's say we value mental well-being and emotional health. Well, I think all schools would say they do. And many school, in fact, almost every school website says, you know, we educate the whole child and we value, you know, thriving and happiness of the individual is paramount. And then, well, then you say, okay, well, how are you doing that? School culture is important. And school culture actually then manifesting as courses or programs or rules even that support this or culture of listening. So while you can't ever make someone peaceful, you know, if you're not peaceful, I'm gonna send you to do some detention. That doesn't work, yeah. But a school can value and celebrate good practice and sanction. I mean, all schools do. Many schools have a very detailed behavior policy, but you cannot make someone, you know, mindful or compassionate or behave well. It's about, again, it's about creating the conditions so that they can see for themselves the value of committing to that, to nonviolence or whatever it is.
It's also a very good reminder of that everything starts from ourselves, and we
Totally.
can develop that and be an example on that and
Yeah.
hope that this will flourish then.
Amelia, I think that's the key point, and that's why in Teach Peace, the whole approach is coming from or centered on the teachers. Because even though the end result is for the students, the children, the teenagers to be more flourishing, more well in themselves, and more connected with each other, the way to do that is to train the teachers so that the teachers are able to embody and manifest some of these qualities of social connection or sustainable well-being, like you said at the beginning, Martin. And when the teachers are embodying and almost living, breathing, or at least have understood at some level these principles, then the students are able to pick up on that, almost like osmosis, or like when there's a teacher who is well in themselves, is truly has the well-being of the student at heart, that communicates, not necessarily through words, but it communicates through the way they are, the presence. And then the students, we're all very, especially teenagers, we're very open, we're very what's the word? Sensitive to our and others' emotions. And so when there's a teacher who is actually embodying well-being or empathic resonance, then we as a teenager will pick up on that and feel drawn or to that being with that person, or that will actually change our own behavior.
Yeah, I want to really want to acknowledge at this point that this vision of Teach Peace is pretty much in line with the primary aim of the EU
Absolutely.
to promote peace, its values, and the well-being of its citizens. And so often this is just a phrase. But if we look at the classroom, and the message could be that is delivered by Teach Peace, that this could be a beacon of peace and social cohesion. So pretty much a good idea, I would say.
Well, that's it. It's like, okay, you have a principle of wanting peace to, flourish throughout the whole of the European Union, but then how do you do it? How do you actually explicitly cultivate that wish? There's two main strands to this, which all of our trainers have sort of understood and have their own way of then cultivating these two strands. One is more like what you could call like an inner peace, and one is more like a an outer or external or outside peace, which is more about behavior and social connection and societal harmony. So from a Buddhist perspective, it's almost like the inner peace is more like working with one's own mind and emotions, cultivating mindfulness and awareness. And so one is a little bit less a prisoner of one's own thoughts and emotions. And then on the other side, the second strand, the outer peace, that's more like how one engages with others through feeling a sense of connection, a sense of like a big human family. It's not always, we don't always like, the emotion of the other, or we don't always get on, or we maybe shout like in the family. But there's an underlying love and respect and care that's sort of deeper than the waves of the different emotions that come and go. And so if one is able to, in a school or in a classroom or as a teacher, to embody and then share a little bit about how to cultivate the inner peace through mindfulness, let's say, and then a little bit how to cultivate the outer peace through cultivating a sense of warmth or connection or emotional resonance or a compassionate attitude or altruism towards the other, then I think that's a very good basis for peace, not only in the individual, in the school, but also in society at large.
If we would now go back to school, would you give us an example of exercise to promote peace?
Peace skill one, peace skill two, because we all, as a teacher, it needs, you're right, no, it does, you're right, it needs to be, I need to be able to deliver a 3 minute thing, and it's at 9:40 in the morning when I've got 5 minutes of the student's attention, the year, whatever they are, the 10-year-olds or the 15-year-olds. It has to be doable. And this is actually one of the key principles, but also one of the key challenges of any intervention like Teach Peace, is it has to actually be workable, doable in the chaotic, multifaceted, incredibly challenging situation of a school. These exercises have been tried and tested over the years to work with restless teenagers. And but the other, before we go into, let's say, what an exercise is, it's the Teach Peace principle is that the teacher knows the students better than anyone else. Like, it's not about some old guy like myself coming in and saying, okay, everybody, now let's do a peace exercise. It's about it's about empowering the teacher to know what's best, because they basically do know what's best for their class. And so one exercise that we found works well is something that Mind with Heart developed a few years ago called BBB. So it only works in English because the B stands for three different things. The first B is body, the second B is breath, and the third B is being. So in this short exercise, which maybe lasts, can even last as short as little as 3 minutes, the first B or the first minute is just checking in with the body, with sensations, the sense of touch, like the touch where your feet touch the whatever's underneath them. And just when you do that, like right now, if we just check in on the sensations of the feet and what's underneath them, that sense of contact, or maybe that sense of temperature in the feet, that immediately brings us into a simple, direct experience of the present moment.
And it's wonderful to come out of our heads for a moment.
Exactly. So that's why, and I say the feet, but that's not by accident that I say the feet. The feet is
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
actually very good as a way of literally grounding
Grounding, yeah.
experience.
Thank you. I really needed this on this call.
Yeah, you can. We can actually do it right now.
Yeah. I was doing it definitely.
Yeah, exactly. And it changes something in our whole psyche almost. So that's the first B is body. And the second B is breath, which again, just placing attention on breathing in and breathing out. Sometimes it helps to place a hand on the belly, on the abdomen. And that placement of attention on the simple act of breathing in and breathing out again pacifies or can help pacify turbulent thoughts and emotions. It's almost like the energy or the flow of the breath, and placing attention on that somehow calms the agitated, restless mind. I mean, you don't necessarily say all of this to, a 9-year-old or a 13-year-old, but just saying the instruction and doing it, the teacher actually doing it as one is describing it, not just press play, press play and the teacher goes and reads their Facebook's scroll or whatever. No, they're doing it with the students. So that's the second B. Body breath. And then the third B is just letting go of all effort or method and simply being. Not trying to be any different from or do anything different from what's already just happening in the present moment. And that simply being, again, can be very disarming. It's because it's not suppressing anything. It's not saying, you have to be still and silent. It's saying, I mean, obviously one would be in an ideal situation, still and silent, and the whole classroom has this sense of a more pervasive peace. And that can actually be wonderful when we get a taste of that. But the peace, or sorry, the being of the simply being is vibrant. It's awake. So you have this calm, but also a sort of a brightness and a clarity. And in fact, when we teach the teachers about meditation or mindfulness, I would say that one of the keys is this: is the two words, calm and clear. So calm, being relaxed and stable, settled, and then clear, being bright, vibrant, and these two together is really a winning combination. Easier said than done.
Wonderful. In the end, it's so
It
simple.
is simple, but simple is not easy.
And you have to do it. That's
That's right. There's no, you can't just talk about it. That's right. I mean,
Yes.
you can just talk
Yeah.
about it, but it doesn't actually get
Yeah.
you anywhere.
No, you have to do it.
I imagine it could be also a very valuable resource for the teachers to discover, to be able to do that in
Yes.
their hectic, everyday work situation.
There is resistance. Like, yes, all teachers would love to have a little bit more calm and clarity. Wouldn't we all? But then, can they give some of their precious time to undergo a 12-hour, 18-hour, whatever training for that? And that's where the resistance may kick in. And that's where the support of the school is important. If the school can say, we value your sanity, therefore we're going to pay for a training and also give you the time to do that training, that's a real support. You're right, Martin. It's an incredible resource, and it only really works when teachers do firsthand see the value of this, when they see that their relationship with their colleagues has changed a little bit, when they see that they are less fractious with their class, then they basically buy in and will want to share some of these principles or skills with their students. But sorry, the tendency for a teacher is to, for example, hear about mindfulness on day one, and day two they'll say, right, kids, let's do something, because they've sort of the teachers are very quick in wanting to, pass on what they've learnt with their students. But actually, the teach piece approach is, hold on, let's get something established with yourself a little bit deeper first, and then reflect with your peers about what actually do we want to bring to the classes and the school at large, and be a little bit discerning in how we then present something. Because as a teacher, especially with teenagers, you really only get one shot at this. If you mess up your first, when you if you deliver too soon about, let's say, mindfulness or empathy, and it doesn't go well, it's very difficult to claw back that, what's the
The
word, with
first
the class, that
impression
face. You've lost face, basically. So not to introduce too soon to the students.
So if there's now a teacher or a parent who would like their school or students to get involved with the teach piece, is it normally you approach schools or the schools approach you?
The principle is any school can approach Teachpiece through the Teachpiece website, and that's the beginning of a relationship, of a discussion. In fact, it's not even the school that contacts Teachpiece. It's a teacher in a school who would like to do something, and that teacher is usually either a Buddhist practitioner or someone who's interested in values education, and just needs some support with how to create something that's just beyond their classroom. So maybe there's a teacher who's already doing something with a few of their students, but wants to take it a bit bigger into the whole school.
Thank you very much, David, for this presentation of the Teach Peace project. That's a very nice outlook for the Year of the Wood Dragon.
Thank
And thank you very much. It was a pleasure. And I'm very delighted to hear about the initiatives like Teach Peace. And for me, there's one word that is just right now resonating in my mind. It's sanity. A really nice English word. It's really hard to translate it into German, but I really like it. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Amelia. It's been a delight to talk to you, and I hope to hear many more of your inspiring podcasts.
Thank you, David. Thank you, listeners. Thank you, Martin. Thank you, all the dragons in the world, in the universe.